Pope Francis saying, ain't nobody Pope as me. I love the Benedictine. The Benedictine teen.
Very nice.
Yeah. Low energy today, my friend.
Why?
It's, well, the things I had to do to prepare for this episode have been really emotionally difficult. Alec, let me ask you. Have you ever cried while reading a legal document?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I cried. I cried.
I've fallen asleep.
I cried on the last page, or the second to last page of the Republican Party platform.
You're like, this is so beautiful.
Yeah. It was tears of joy. Tears of joy.
There you go.
Tears of joy of knowing that one day I will be dead and won't have to be living in Texas anymore.
Not going to have to worry about this shit. Yeah, this document is extremely mask off. It's very funny. There's just no pretense of normalcy, I guess. I mean, of acknowledging that there are certain realities about the state that have to exist for it to allow for normal life in the United States and in Texas. We're very, very far from God, I guess. we're very far from normalcy and close to God, according to them. Getting closer every day.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Propagandos. It is Saturday, June 15th. For those of you who are return listeners from last week's episode of The Shift, because we got like a boost of new listeners, we now have like over 100,000 subscribers.
We're making
millions off of Patreon. now, thank you to our 25 subscribers. We love each and every one of you. But hey,
we're opening up a bunker in Montana to have on guests. But we'll start wearing the Tim Pool beanie.
But if you went to our archives, you see that every now and then Alec and I do an episode that is about the politics of the Gulf Coast. You know, I live in Texas. I am nowhere near the border. I am right next to the Gulf. Alec, you're in Lake Charles. You're pretty close to the Gulf as well.
Yeah.
Does Lake Charles go directly to the No.
Yeah, it spills. Yeah. Lake Charles spills all the way down to the Gulf. I mean, we're like 30 miles from the open Gulf, so.
Okay. Oh, you're closer than I am then. Houston's still like.
Yeah, but when there's like a bad hurricane, like the Gulf water like comes up.
Oh, yeah.
Comes up the waterways. And
oh, yeah.
Gets all salty.
So if there's one thing that you, the listener, can learn from this podcast, it's what it's like to endure a hurricane, because we're in hurricane season. One's bound to come up soon.
We're going to die.
And luckily, the Republican Party of Texas wants to do away with anything that could possibly prevent a hurricane in the future.
We're going to mitigate the mitigation. We're going to get rid of all that, all those annoying rainy day relief funds for when a hurricane hits and destroys a Texas community. Fuck that shit. Lower our taxes, please.
So just a little thing, you know, less than a month ago, the Republican Party of Texas did ratify its platform. And a platform is basically just like issuing out like these are our goals, these are our intents, these are our missions. This is what we stand for. And as Alec said, it's very mask off. It does hide behind some legal language. So you have to kind of read between the lines to find out that they want to get rid of divorce. They want to get rid of.
I didn't see that. Really?
Yeah, they want to get rid of a no-fault divorce, and they want to make it so that. Hang on, I have it written down here. Plank 185 pushes to erode no-fault divorce and pushes for covenant marriage to remind you, like, hey, you promised to be with each other for the rest of your life. And no-fault divorce is where you just like no one declares who's at fault. They're being you want a divorce? You better air your dirty fucking laundry for the world.
Yeah. State enforced promise rings on the horizon soon. But, I mean, why is this important to talk about? Because, I mean, a lot of people, right, if you're an American or not an American, you might know that Texas is kind of crazy, right? That everything's bigger in Texas, including the psychosis of the kind of right wing that runs the state more and more. But this is important because just like states like New York and California are kind of breeding and testing grounds for new forms of liberal policy, whether good or bad, Texas is very much so one of those states for conservative thought, and growingly and more so as time goes on, right? As the Republican Party shifts away from kind of old power centers on the East Coast, Texas is becoming more and more relevant to the party itself. the fact that Trump psychosis, despite failures at the congressional level, Trump psychosis seems to kind of dominate the actual internal discourse of the parties, meaning like the people coming up in the Republican Party are mostly people motivated by kind of Trump reasoning. I don't even know. I wouldn't call it neoconservative. I'd call it like paleoconservative, yeah. Right? Like this document is a cross between something that like a Christian nationalist would write and something that an anarcho-capitalist would write.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely, for those who don't know, the Texas Republican Party has already been having its own internal turmoil, a bit of a civil war, so to speak, within the party ranks. The brass is kind of doing away with the pro-business aspect of Republicanism in America within the Texas Party. And it's now, like you said, embracing Christian nationalism, doing away with guaranteed human rights, guaranteed equal rights protections for anyone that's not a white man, basically.
Yeah, I mean, this is the right wing version of the kind of neoliberal strip mining that's been going on, you know, all over the world, right? But pushed for and promulgated by, in large part, the United States, right? And yeah. In foreign countries, it serves as a kind of as a means of pressure and international control that benefits the United States. But that logic comes home to roost. And in the United States, it's promulgated largely by these conservative movements.
Yeah. And I read this entire thing. I read it. I can't say that I understood all of it. I did have to call Alex. Like, hey, I don't get any of this finance crap.
Me reading the document, there's a lot of like made up terms, right? There's a lot of kind of neologisms that they've created internally, which are not Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Laws, right?
Robin Hood laws, which basically, I mean, HISD had a struggle with this a few years ago. I'm vague on the details, but essentially River Oaks, which is a very wealthy neighborhood in the state of Texas, can only be taxed so much due to the revenue cap in the city of Houston. And so because the schools in HISD are funded by property taxes, some of the poorer districts have tried to push for borrowing from the money that is generated by River Oaks. And so the wealthy people of Texas just want, they call them Robin Hood laws of stealing from the rich to give to the poor. And they believe that, you know, property taxes accrued in, which, by the way, they do want to get rid of property taxes completely. But the property taxes accrued from River Oaks should go to schools for children that live in River Oaks. It should not be used for lower income areas. So that's why they call them Robin Hood laws.
I mean, yeah, it's basically what it sounds like, right? Which is taking from the rich to give to the poor, meaning like a government redistribution scheme of any kind, right? Like we're opposed to. And you're going to, if you would read the document in full or like even scan through it, you're going to see a lot of this weird kind of stuff. Stuff that they've invented on their own that you kind of have to parse through that doesn't really have like a legal meaning yet. And then not only is it all this stuff that they made up, but you're going to see a lot of stuff that like came from the internet, right? That's like found like fertile ground to grow in the minds of these people who wrote the document that is like the ideological and policy outline for the Republican Party in Texas, right? One of the biggest political parties in the United States and like most relevant and important. You're going to see lots of stuff in here about like the Great Reset.
The Great Reset.
This idea that I don't know if it's inherently anti-Semitic, but like bankers want to replace the Western populations with immigrant ones and control the world through some kind of like financial schemes, right? Yeah. There's mention of like the World Economic Forum. It's just straight up crank shit. What becomes obvious when reading this is that the kind of internet culture war stuff isn't just, as I would have thought maybe 10 years ago, right? This like weird distraction that guys like Rush Limbaugh or actual party representatives use to not talk about policy as like a kind of smokescreen. That stuff has become buried in the psyches of these people. And if it's in a document like this, you know that it's moved beyond just propaganda. It's no longer like a mental tripwire that foments fear in talk radio listeners. It's fully taken control of these people's brains as well. And like the tax policy that they're talking about is straight up like von Mises shit. I mean, it's, we're in Ancapistan now.
Right? Yeah. I do want to mention, you mentioned that the talk radio stuff. What was very interesting is over the past few weeks, I have gotten into arguments with my stepdad over politics that are like really odd talking points that kind of came out. And like, he just started bitching about like college endowments. And it ended up being he was mad about A&M paying their coach a lot of money and their coach stuff. Yeah, it was fucking stupid. So there has to be some kind of talk radio host who's testing the waters by putting these ideas out there, seeing if they resonate with his audience. And, you know, Dan Patrick, our lieutenant governor, used to be a talk radio host. So I imagine he's got connections to the media and kind of gauging how our voters feeling about this. Will we be successful in pulling this off? Or rather, start getting your audience members upset about this. Start getting people angry so they feel like we are doing something about it. And it's kind of like the Trumpian way of like, he drops something to see if people like it. And then before you know it, he's talking about it at every rally. And he's saying like, a lot of people are saying it and many, many more are going to be saying it soon. You're going to start hearing it all the time.
This is the test balloon kind of idea, right?
But, you know, if we want to get into this document, I did read the entire thing. I separated it into good, bad, and like ugly, stupid, and weird. Because there is some stuff like it makes zero sense. You know, and granted, I am aware that I have my own political biases, so you may not find these things to be good or bad or ugly, stupid, weird. This is what I think is good.
I mean, do we want to say that? I want to say, like, I'm going to be critiquing this and I'm going to be telling you this shit is stupid. Because, I mean, a lot. No. But, like, seriously, I mean, if this is what's passing, I mean, maybe, look, I don't know what's going to happen to the United States. Right. In like the near future and within our lifetimes. But if these kinds of ideas are going to be at the forefront of conservative policy, I mean, the United States is going to collapse. I don't know. Like if this stuff is instituted in Texas, if half of it's instituted in Texas, it is going to render the state government basically non-functional. Education, fucking forget about it. Right.
Yeah.
Reinvent like local and municipal government. One of the aims of like the finance section of this, which Connor called me to talk about, is basically to render those things inert by limiting how much they can collect in taxes or enter into debt for municipal projects, right? So like the thing that you would want out of politics, right? We say, well, federal and state politics are in so many places are captured, but at least you can vote in these local elections, right? You can get a city council seat. You can actually go speak. You could be a part of that process and you could fix things on a local level. These people see you and their response is, we're going to stop you from doing that, right? Yeah. We see that you can experiment and try to like fix things for yourselves. You know, from our vantage point of our places in Austin or in the suburbs somewhere else, we find that that's a breaking of civil liberties for taxpayers around Texas, even in the municipalities that presumably would pay for the shit. And we don't want to fucking see it, right? And
yes.
I can't, for the life of me, ever find a middle ground where I would be willing to grant audience to that kind of stuff out of some kind of mutual respect, right? Or like neutrality about politics. I mean, if you think these things are good ideas, I don't, you want to destroy the United States as like a functioning state. It's a freak fucking idea. It's stupid. It makes everything worse, right?
Yes.
For everybody.
It seems like they're pushing for the balkanization of the United States completely.
Well, I mean, the balkanization, I don't know what kind of future they envision, right? I think a lot of these people think that if you literally reduce tax burdens to near zero and you make the government a non-functional, I mean, there are anarcho-capitalists on the internet. These people are fucking morons, right? But they do exist. They have a vision for the world, which is when you don't have these immoral imposed hierarchies of state, right? To dictate that you should pay taxes on income or the corporations don't get to, dump sewage in the fucking river that you drink from. That makes a better world on principle. Right. Yeah. That it's not about outcomes and structures and pragmatism. It's about the inherent morality of personal subjectivity and personal freedom. these people are like monstrous, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
It's very interesting. It seemed they call for the repeal of several amendments in the U.S. Constitution, and it seems like they want to go back to just like the original 10. Let's get back to the Bill of Rights. But even that, they have certain legislation they want to push for that amends those amendments a little bit. So, for instance, yes, we believe in free speech, but not the kind that I don't like. Not the kind, like, one of the things that really cracked me up in reading the education section, and I say crack me up because, like, I don't know how to deal with this. But they're saying, like, we need to reject diversity, as the Democratic Party calls it, and embrace the diversity of thought. And the only way we can embrace diversity of thought, return to that marketplace of ideas, is to ban anything that does that, like, questions the American exceptionalism narrative. They want to have forced classes that show, like, the dangers and failings of socialism and communism. They want to throw out anything that is deemed Marxist, multicultural, CRT, which it's all these conspiracy buzzwords that actually mean nothing. But it's something that they hear about all the time, and it scares the shit out of them.
Well, they mean something to them. Like, I have to respect these people because, at the very least, they're highly ideologically driven. They think that America questioning the fundamental ethos of capitalism, right? And especially, like, a 21st century capitalism, the kind of American, you know, capitalism that that the Republican Party, you know, wets its beak on. That is a policy failure, first and foremost, right? That it's not just a failure politically, right? That they've lost a kind of argument or fight for a certain kind of soul. They see it practically as the reason that we're questioned on social media or told that we're bad, or, you know, the reason why anybody stands up against, you know, cutting all of the taxes, right? Like, decreasing income tax to zero and just collapsing the state, is because those who oppose it have been ideologically indoctrinated. And they're not wrong. Basic kind of economics and civic governance is part of a curricula that hopefully, you know, high schoolers, but maybe even people in college learn, right? So you get all these college educated people, and generally they probably don't have a direct affinity, or maybe they even fucking balk at the idea of telling inner city schools that, you know, they have to be run out of a fucking barn because we've cut all their funding. So in a way, I have to say, like, I respect that, right? They've identified a problem and they're trying to do away with it, which means they would have it so that it's literally illegal, right, to teach people that the government can do anything other than have an army, right?
Yeah. And it should be pointed out, you said, you know, hopefully college students will learn economics. Well, guess what, Alec? According to Plank 104 point D, you cannot graduate from college unless you create a comprehensive program of instruction in Western civilization, American institutions, national and state heritage, and Keynesian versus Austrian economics and free market liberty principles. If you don't successfully pass those classes, you don't fucking graduate.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Hayek and von Mises, right? I mean, it's going to be Ancapistan bullshit, right? Like, Keynes was a monster who, you know, put us on the path towards the DEI apocalypse or whatever. The thing that I'm getting at is that I have to have, like, a begrudging respect for these people, because at least they've, like, correctly identified who their enemies are and are actively trying to punish those people and destroy them, right? Yeah. And, like, with them, the American state and, like, everything that's semi-functional about it.
Yeah.
My frustration, and we'll get to this maybe later if we do, like a discussion afterwards, is, like, I don't see this kind of seriousness from liberals, right? So, like,
no,
this should be a thing that people are talking about, and I know that it won't be. When people say that, like, things are extreme and things are getting worse all the time, and, you know, Donald Trump poses, like, a serious threat to the future of the United States, if this is the future of the Republican Party, and I'm fairly certain that it is, right, as things kind of spiral out of control for the United States in terms of its, you know, gross domestic product and its foreign power and its ability to provide for citizens at home, I think this is going to be what we're going to be seeing more and more of. And the fact that I know that it won't be met with a liberal response that says, no, actually, we need to look to the left in terms of policies to ameliorate these failures, right? That this is not a thing that's seen as an existential crisis for the American political structure. It's, like, horrifying. This level of crazy is not going to be met with from the side of liberal power.
Yeah.
And that means that these people are going to fucking walk all over you.
Yes. And we've also lost the Supreme Court's ability to be impartial so ever. And, you know, as we were going through this, you know, something that kept coming up was like, oh, this isn't constitutional. Doesn't matter. If this goes up against like a conservative packed Supreme Court, especially this kind of conservative, not business minded conservative, but this particular ideological paleo conservative Supreme Court, it doesn't matter if it's constitutional or not. And then we were also talking about like the risk that you run of bringing this to the Supreme Court could impact the entire country, not just the state of Texas. Fuck, I hate to be alarmist, but the alarms are going off.
Yeah, I mean, they should be. Like when Connor's talking about like these aren't your business conservatives, a lot of this is about business-minded complaints, right? Mostly taxation.
Yeah,
right? That's kind of that's just a long-standing conservative thing. And by the way, right, that's like a huge part of the business right is about lowering their taxes. But in the past, there was an admission from that wing and represented in conservative parties that you can't break the system too much, right? I mean, if you strip mine it too much, it is the foundational body by which under which commerce is exercised. Right. And if people don't have good lives, for instance, right, if they don't earn a lot of money, they don't buy things. Right. And yeah. Broadly speaking, economic growth and schemes of
I wanted to say something about the business minded Republicans of Texas. Former Speaker of the House Joe Strauss. This is, you know, the last speaker we had. Right now it's Dade Phelan. But Joe Strauss was a business minded Republican who, you know, he was the speaker during Dan Patrick's first term as lieutenant governor. And Dan Patrick is, as I said, a former radio show announcer, and he was a culture war guy. And Joe Strauss is not. And so the very first time that the, you know, you hear this term all over the country, bathroom bill, which was designed for, it's an anti-trans bill to keep, you know, trans people from going into a bathroom.
Yeah, we just passed ours in Louisiana. They just, Landry just signed ours into law, right? So,
so Joe Strauss, when Dan Patrick said, hey, you need to tackle this, Joe Strauss said, I'm not even bringing it to the floor because this is up for businesses to decide. Dan Patrick didn't like that. And that began a multi-year plan of culture wars taking over the entire Republican Party. There are things in here that don't make business sense because it is so culture-minded. It boggles my mind over, like, it's very profit-minded by calling for the elimination of the Environmental Protection Agency and reclassifying CO2 as a non-pollutant, but it's also culture-motivated in dissolving gay marriages and banning any student from that is a member of the Communist Party of China from coming to our universities, which is just a dog whistle for we're banning Chinese people from coming to this country to get an education.
I mean, it should be said that like a lot of this is over, like a lot of this is not about Texas, right? This is like what some of the smaller stuff is what we support on a federal level. And that stuff is kind of alarming as it is. But a lot of it is within the power of a strong Republican Party within Texas to pass. So some of this stuff you can say it's federal, fuck it, that doesn't matter, that's not going to happen, right? These people certainly don't control Congress at the very least. Well, they do control the Texas state legislature, and a lot of this is about Texas.
Yes, so, and it's also worth mentioning that they have come up with a plan to make sure that Texas stays Republican forever. Single party state. So right now, the way it works is a statewide official, such as the governor, is elected by popular vote of Texas. Now, the governor's not stupid. I mean, I think he's a fucking dumbass, but he's not stupid. And he has been seeing that the margin, his margin of victory is getting smaller and smaller and smaller every year. Now, since I was in fucking high school, people say, like, Texas is purple. Texas is going to flip. I'd be surprised if it flipped in my lifetime. And now after reading this, I know for a fact it will never flip. And the way they're going to do that is, so Texas has 254 counties in the state of Texas, and they have amended how statewide officials are elected. And this includes your railroad commissioner, your attorney general, your governor, your lieutenant governor. The way that these people are going to be elected now, it's decided by 254 votes. Each county gets one vote, and that county is determined by the majority of voters within that county.
And they all are equally weighted critically, right? So, like, what's shocking is I see these, like, echoes of kind of, like, stupid Facebook memes from, like, 10 years ago. So those maps that you would see of the Electoral College by, I assume it's, like, state. I don't think they're federal congressional districts. It might be, like, state congressional districts because there's way too many, like, little yeah. pieces. So it'll be the red and the blue on a map, but based by district. So yeah. not surprisingly, rural places tend to be more conservative, right? So a bunch of the map is red, and then there's a bunch of, like, blue dots for, like, all the cities. And they're like, how does Obama win, given that all of this fucking landmass is red, right? Yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, do you think that we should vote based on landmass, right? Is like that the? It's just, like, stupid bullshit, right? It's Facebook boomer stuff that you, it strikes you as insanely fucking ignorant about, like, what the function of, like, democracy would even logically be. And this is what they want to do in Texas. And yeah. to be honest, what they probably will end up doing in Texas.
And to give you a sense of, like, the disparity between those votes, is that Harris County, where I live, it's 4,835,125 people. Their vote will count the same as Loving County.
Which, oh, this is the population, like, 60.
43.
So 43 fucking people.
43 people will be able to have the same weight as nearly 5 million. Well, fuck them.
I mean, fuck them, right? Like, that yeah. is, that is ultimately this. I think we should probably shift and, like, start getting into specifics here.
Can I open up with some of the good things?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So some of the good things that are actually coming is the state of Texas wants to, like, fully fund veteran affairs for vets. They want to fund full health care for veterans and their families. I love that. They want to impose 12-year term limits to state and county offices, as well as, you know, the U.S. legislature.
A term limit stuff.
Yeah, term limits, which are, you know, good.
In the finance section, they had the thing about not being able to vote for your own pay increase as a public official, which, like, right. that's fine.
Right? Yeah. And if someone breaks into my house and I shoot them, my landlord can't evict me for that. That's in Plank 19.G, which, it, as Alec and I were talking, like, that's an oddly specific plank that totally happened to somebody who was, like, drafting.
Yeah. I can't believe I got evicted for shooting a guy. I mean, it is kind of surprising, right? Like, you have a state law that's very specific that you get to. I think it's Texas, the weird one where you just get to shoot people if they're robbing your house at night. It's like a cattle rustler law.
It's the Castle Doctrine. If they're in your house, you can just, like, shoot them.
Like, way before Castle Doctrine, though, because famously it was used by a guy who, he got stiffed by a prostitute. She wouldn't have sex with him after he paid her. And I think he, like, shot and killed her. And he got off on it because he was being robbed at night. He was getting cattle rustled by a lady, like, not jerking him off.
He was dressed up as a cow, which made it even more offensive.
Like, but, for a state that's, like, long defended this idea, right? The fact that you could be evicted seems odd, right?
Yeah. It also calls for putting an end to corporate welfare and elimination of civil asset forfeiture unless you get convicted. So
that fucking rules.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who, like, lose tons of their assets after just getting investigated or arrested or cops coming in with a warrant. And then they lie about how much money they took from you, blah, blah, blah. So this is a good thing.
The cops can just take your fucking money. They could take your car.
Yeah.
And however, you're like, well, I mean, can you prove that it's connected to drugs? And I'm like, no, we can't, but we could take it.
However, removing civil asset forfeiture means that there will never be another season of The Inspectors, which you can hear all about on an upcoming episode of Honey, I Shrunk the Binge. That'll be out next week,
hopefully?
Next week. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be out, like, that week. I'm not sure.
Let's go.
Another thing that's coming, a total transparency on the finance of government agencies, how much money they have, what their debts are, their contracts, financial statements. It's good, but I definitely think context for those kinds of numbers need to be released because, like, you know, Alec, I had to call you to be like, hey, what does this mean?
I imagine that the point of this in their minds is to add fodder to the idea that they need to cut budgets, right? Like this is going to be used badly regardless of whether it's a good idea, absolutely. At least that one.
And I have a bunch of other stuff that's just about, you know, I'll probably put a link to the show notes and the Google Doc I've been putting together on this. The last one I'll say is right now all road construction is paid for by the gas tax in the state of Texas. And the rise of electric cars means that there are people who are circumventing the gas tax. They're driving on the roads that they're not paying for. So they're trying to create a way for electric cars to pay their fair share of the gas tax. I'm all for it. If you can't find a new way to generate revenue to pay for roadways and highways, then yeah, find a way to make electric cars pay their fair share. But that's also a way of me saying, like, the wealthy should pay their fair share of taxes because a poor guy can't afford a fucking Tesla.
Yeah, I don't know if that kind of logic is going to make it far in this kind of document. I mean, I will say, like, I'm a gun guy. I'm an ex Second Amendment voter, basically. But I still like guns. And the stuff in here about nixing federal gun laws so I get to own fully automatic firearms that aren't like pre-86 ban are pretty cool. I mean, I like that kind of stuff.
I
will move. If they say, fuck the ATF, fuck the federal government, come invade us, motherfuckers. You get to buy fully automatic firearms. I will move back to Texas.
Oh, Alec, just wait until we get to Plank 213 and all the agencies. Yeah, so they want to dissolve any and all federal agencies or departments that are not authorized by the Constitution. So anything that was created after 1787. And that includes the alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives.
I agree with them on that one. Fuck the ATF.
They're getting rid of the ATF, the HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the entire Department of the
FDIC? What?
The entire...
This is what I mean. They did, like, there's nobody who's ever run a business fucking signed on to this shit. I can't imagine. Well, they want to get rid of the FDIC. What if your bank collapses, you fucking freak? You're just destitute?
Yep. And this next one is particularly funny to me. They want to dissolve the Department of the Interior, quote, specifically, the Bureau of Land Management. Which, I don't know if y'all remember Amon Bundy, but like all these people who are just like, the government's using eminent domain to take my farm so they can give it to Chinese solar plants.
It's this shit is wild because you read this document and you're like, well, this is like the Libertarian Party platform, right? And it's like, no, this is a Republican Party platform of one of the biggest, most important states in the union. One of the economically most important places in the United States. This is what their ruling party put out as, this is what we think and what we want to do.
Yeah, which it should be noted that there's some wing. I don't think we mentioned it on any episode recently, but Chase Oliver, I think that's the thing. Yeah, Chase Oliver, the Libertarian Party candidate, is an openly gay man. And now there's fractionalism within the Libertarian Party. Because they're mad that a gay guy got nominated.
I would be mad too. He's too beautiful. It's distracting to look at.
Yeah. So wouldn't you know it? Libertarians are showing their ass, and it's one bigoted ass.
It's one big ass. It's a hateful ass. It's a beautiful, sculpted, hateful ass.
They also want to get rid of the National Food and Drug Administration. Oh, this one's great. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Yep, goodbye, OSHA.
Yep, exactly.
They want to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency. They want to get rid of the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration.
This is like, it's horrifying, but it's also awesome. They are just libertarian cranks. It's crazy. They're just like your uncle who won't shut the fuck up about buying gold.
Oh, yeah. And then we've got, they want to get rid of the Center for Disease Control, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Education.
The Department of Commerce!
The Department of Energy, the Health and Human Services Department, the Department of Labor, the National Labor Relations Board, the IRS, and quote, and any other federal agency or department that is not authorized,
by the Constitution. Yep.
They want to dissolve the federal government. At this point, just fucking secede. What are you doing? You want to dissolve the United States? Just fucking leave it.
Maybe that's what we're getting at.
Well, there is a point coming up that does secure Texas's right to secede. So
let's go. You know. Let's go. Again, good luck. But like, I don't know. I mean, if this kind of stuff is going to be at the forefront of American politics, right? Like, it might be a thing that, you know, potentially happens in the future.
At this point, like, you know more than I do on this shit. At this point, like, why not just secede? Why not just dissolve the fucking union? What are we held together by the U.S. dollar? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Because the feds are going to come and kick your fucking ass, right? Like, you don't get to leave. Like, it's the problem with the Civil War was, one, it's a slap in the face. The federal government is the federal government, and it's not just going to let you carve a piece of it out and take it, right? But, like, the bigger issue is the feds own a bunch of shit in your state. When you're like, we're enforcing our borders, we're a fucking sovereign country now, what are you going to, you're going to give them free access to your roads to drive to, you know, the military facilities that are in your sovereign state? Like, that's going to lead to a standoff, right? If, I mean, if you can't take them, if you don't think that you can take the federal government.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Texas Air National Guard, you know, George W. Bush proudly flew. What was it? What did he fly?
Jet.
F-4s or something. Yeah. No, I mean, I assume we, maybe, well, one of us knew what kind of jets W flew.
This document does point out that the Texas National Guard is not very well funded. So if we seceded right now, we'd be fucked.
Well, thankfully, you're gonna like open up all the gun laws, and you're just gonna have like suburban militias of fat guys that get to Viet Cong their way like all the way to D.C. and I don't know.
Now,
Alex Garland's Civil War.
Now, despite Texas being, you know, a libertarian minded kind of, not in my Texas kind of place, we're still deeply entrenched within the federal government to the point where I've been following this Texas shit. And there's now a debate where someone pointed out, hey, if we left the union, do we have to take our share of the federal debt? It was as if there was like a pause in the room and people were like, No.
Like, so I mean, I don't even know what that would look like, right?
It's going to look like Brexit. It's going to be a messy multi-year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Texas secedes, trust me, you're going to have bigger problems than Texas seceding, right? Like, if that kind of stuff is going on in the United States, things are pretty bad.
Yeah.
But like, so like we say, right? Like, do you want to just do a kind of hit a bunch of bullet points and we can talk about them?
Yeah. All right. One of the things, we're suspending the Equal Rights Amendment, parental rights. This is kind of a not my business kind of law. That's what I want to call it, because it says that a parent is free to raise their kid as they see fit. And that includes, you know, beating their kid, which I've told you before, pretty fucking against
beating their kid and making them not be trans. Right. I assume what that anything involving parents is.
Yes. And there's one line in it, a quote that says, no parent exercising any of these fundamental rights shall be prosecuted as domestic terrorist, which made me like, wait, so you can, I guess, like, you can train your kid to kill the president?
I'm going to Texas to do ISIS shit tomorrow.
I'm raising my kid to be a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
They're bringing the Bible back into schools. They're going to have mandatory praying. You got to teach. You have to teach like lessons from Genesis in elementary school, which is so interesting. Like, they're defunding schools, but they want to change the school curriculum. They want to make it school choice, but it's like they're coming up with a bunch of contingency plans for, well, if we don't get everything we want, we'll just put the Bible back in school anyway.
Well, I mean, it's like, this is equal parts wish list and like manifesto, right? Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, they want to remove net neutrality, which is already bad. Look, if you know me from work, please mute for the next 30 seconds. Texans do not want to talk about the fact that porn is kind of like outlawed in Texas right now. They want to deepen that. They want to make it so you can never fucking see porn. They want to create a registry, so you have to register for every site if you want to access it. Provide your driver's license so that you can prove that you're 18. Basically building a registry of people who jack off.
Personally, yeah, I mean, morality police shit.
Yeah, right? And I personally think you can't ban jacking off and make guns readily available.
So you gotta let me beat off so I don't use this fucking gun.
You should be forced to jack off before you buy a gun. And then maybe you'll be like, I don't need one right now.
Ah, fuck it. I'm gonna get a pizza.
Yeah. They're opposing any and all getting
pizza. I mean, more, I think to that stuff, right? It's like, maybe there's some like moral issue there, right? That they're trying to let ISPs control. But it's mostly, to me, it sounds like an ISP's like, I want to charge people more money. There's money left over. I could be jacking these fucking rates up depending on what sites people visit and how much they use their fucking internet connection. I want to be able to do that.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, because they want to ban Plank 85 bans sexual education in schools completely. Alec, this is an uncomfortable question. Did your parents ever give you the talk?
Yeah, absolutely. It was so like hermetic and weird, right? That I was like, that's fucking gross. All that shit's fucking gross.
Can you tell me, was it your mom or your dad?
I think both.
Can you tell me?
I was like 10 or 11. And they gave me like a very like medical, like scientific, right? Like, there's an egg in here and there's like a period and like blood comes out. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. Right. And then like the penis goes in the vagina and I'm like, that's fucking wild.
Okay.
Why would anyone do that?
My dad asked me, do you know what a condom is? And I said, yes. He goes, good. And that was it. And my mom, nice. My mom claimed,
use them.
My mom claimed that she bought a box of condoms and left it in the bathroom, which did not happen. So I never got a talk from my parents. And my brothers are all like, I come from a kind of a mixed family, and my brother are all like stuffy Catholics that do not talk about sex at all. Catholics who have very Protestant behaviors. It's very odd, but they do not talk about that. So it's not like I had older brothers being like, this is how you jack off. Like, I was thrown to the fucking wolves, my friend. So yes, you need sexual education in school.
I was thrown to the wolves to have sex with them.
And they're also really ramping up abortion laws.
I think these people would just straight up execute you if you had an abortion, right? Like, if they had their way, they would just kill you.
Well, one thing that you can get away with is if you have an abortion and you regret it, the state of Texas will welcome you into, like, a program that espouses the evils of abortion.
If you have an abortion, they'll pet your head while they euthanize you. battered women's shelters, but for women that have had abortions and feel bad about it. I'm sure those will get used a lot.
But it also seems like an apology tour of just like, yeah, sure. You have to go around. It's like if you get in a drunk driving accident and you got to go to school, it's be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like,
oh, wait, I misunderstood. This is mandatory. So somebody finds out you have an abortion and you have to wear a red A.
You have the option.
For abortion.
You'll have the option to do it. It's one of the resolutions on the final page. But yeah, it's just like, here, I can read this to you because it is kind of like, it just feels like community service for getting caught having an abortion. Let's see. The Care for Women Resolution. Resolution 4. Texas Republicans understand the lasting hurt that often results from a past abortion, and we invite those who have past hurts from abortion to engage in loving conversations and healing counsel, and we invite post-abortive women into the pro-life conversation to spread awareness that abortion harms women. We maintain our belief in the sanctity of innocent human life created in the image of God, which should be protected from fertilization until natural death. We are the party of life. Passed unanimously. This is like fucking abortion struggle session bullshit.
Wait, but we invite them into the conversation. It sounds like this is mandatory.
I think it's just like, you don't have to do this, but if you want to avoid jail time, you better join our fucking...
Yeah, it's like the state being, we invite you into this prison for the tax evasion that you've committed.
And then Plank 158, this is jury shit, which is just remind jurors that they can vote on any verdict according to their conscience instead of the wording on the law. I guess that there's a Trump lover at his jury that's like, well, he did break the law, even though I love the man. They're just saying like, well, I mean, if you love him, you can just say he was innocent. You can just say, like, no, it's not the crime that was bad. It's the law that's bad.
I fully support that idea. I really like, fuck you. I love jury nullification. I don't know if you've seen this. It's like illegal to talk about in a lot of circles. You like can't mention it to juries. They made it illegal in a bunch of states for defenses to tell juries about jury nullification, in which case the jury convenes. They all get together, right? They say, we think he fucking did this crime, but we don't think this should be illegal. And they come out and say, I'm not guilty, right? Not guilty. He walks. I love jury nullification.
Well, right? Here's the thing. That works great in like a one-party state like Texas. Let's say you get a liberal person on the court. They might be like, hey, abortion is murder law is bad. This should not be a law. However, like you said, if this end up applying to the entire country, we could have some like human rights laws that are just like, I disagree with this. Okay, so now I want to get to ugly, stupid, weird. Texas is a weird place sometimes. These are the things that are they're horrifying to people who aren't from here. But when you're here, it's kind of like an eye rolly. Okay, sounds like my uncle wrote some of this. Plank 2.F. It expands areas where you can carry a gun to include ballparks, arenas, sporting events, air shows, car shows, rodeos, or anything financed with any taxpayer fund. And it even says that if you, Alec, own a business in this state and you put a sign that says no guns, I have to respect that. You know, it's your business. I can't do that. But if a guy runs in and shoots up the place and I die, you're on the hook because you did not allow me to protect myself. So you get sued. Instead of the guy who pulled the trigger, you get sued. It's not that the guy killed me. It's that you let me die.
by not letting me. I mean, what happens to consumer choice? I don't understand. Like, I don't think
they thought it out.
I know. I mean, I know that I'm doing the thing that even I, right. There's no consistency to be had here. It's just, I don't every time something bad happens and somebody raises their hand and says like, can we make that illegal for businesses or people to do so that people don't get hurt in the same way? These guys go, fuck you. Boo. Yeah. Fuck you. Right. Eat yeah. shit. Right. It's your fault that you fucking, I don't know. It's your fault that you got shot at the school. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's crazy. And then they're like, well, I should be able to frequent a business. And then it's their fault if I get shot because I didn't have my gun. And it's like, well, didn't you just not go to that business? And
yeah. I'm sure there's a way to argue like, hey, man, it's not my problem. You suspended OSHA. So, like, if you get shot in my business, that's on you for getting shot. Kevlar?
These people, I presume, right, their idea is, well, if you get hurt by the business, right, like if OSHA doesn't exist and a fucking crane falls on you and you get smashed and it's obvious, you know, it's just negligent on the part of your employer, that your fucking family is going to sue them and win some money, right? They don't care that you, like, they're never going to try to prevent things from happening because they don't think that that's a moral action, right? To like try to prevent bad things from happening, oh, right? Yeah. You only get retributive action, right? You only get response. You're only allowed to respond to people in a court, by the way, by suing them, right?
Yep.
In 5 years, you can maybe get $100,000, and that's if they had any money to fucking begin with, right?
Now, this one is awesome. Plank 26 point B. It makes it so it's no longer mandatory to be a member of the state bar in order to practice law, which means yes. I'm opening up a law firm, Southern Laws LLC. Now come on down and I'll represent you.
Is this the thing where you don't have to go to law school or you don't have to pass the bar at all?
You don't have to pass the bar at all.
Fuck yeah. So like, it's not just pro se, like, I don't just get the ability to represent myself in court. I can be a lawyer for someone without being a lawyer.
So like this, if a crane falls on my family member and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Based on the rant that you just gave, I'd call you like, Alec, can you represent me in court?
Do not allow Alec to represent you in court.
This is basically just like an extreme example of like, excuse me, Your Honor, my client said no pickles. And so that's what this is. All right, let's see. What else do we got here? Getting rid of blue laws, which is a bummer because I still always wanted to make the merch for the Texas merch that said Red State Blue Laws.
Yeah, fuck that. I want to drink on fucking Sundays.
Now, this one is very interesting. This is Plank 32. Recognizes the quote-unquote natural right to use currency of choice in Texas, including gold and silver, but bans
yeah.
central bank digital currencies. So as I understood this, it was you can't use any digital currency to pay for stuff. No, no. Au contraire, mon frere. It is federally backed digital currencies that you are not allowed to use.
I've literally never understood this point. I don't see how back when, you know, a year or two ago, back when there was like discussions about basically governments kind of like making crypto, I guess.
Yeah.
I never understood this distinction that they made between digital currency, like government backed digital currencies and regular money. I mean, most money is digital, right? I mean, is government currency, right? I mean, anything that exists in a bank account digitally is government currency that's digital. I don't know.
So,
businesses should be forced by law to accept silver. When I go to the fucking, when I go to Blockbuster, Blockbuster don't exist anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, there are places. I complained about this on the podcast before, I think, but I live in an area that has had some unhoused people that are displaced, further displaced by gentrification. And a guy will open up a coffee shop and say, hey, we don't take cash. Like, okay, well, you come to a neighborhood that's full of unhoused people or people that are day laborers and operate through a cash system, and you don't take their money. You literally say, your money is no good here. This law says, I'm coming in with a bag of silver tokens and I'm buying my croissant and latte with silver. And while you're at it, give me a bottle of Copenhagen.
Yeah. A bottle of Copenhagen.
What do you call it? A tub?
No, a tin? Fucking tin. Yeah. A thing. I mean, usually I think I've heard it referred to as a thing of Cope.
Can I get a sniff to a Copenhagen?
It's called a can.
A can.
But, I mean, I love the idea of like going to a Sonic and just like plinking down a bunch of silver coins and then being like, you have to accept this by law. I don't know what part of the register to fucking put this in.
It reminds me of when I used to get a pizza delivered and I'd pay for it in quarters. So I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
That is like gulag behavior. I mean, like whenever the United States collapses because of this bullshit that we're talking about on the podcast, and I'm the American Stalin, you're going to gulag for like quarters for pizza shit. In fact, we're gonna stop making coins of all kinds. I think that I have to imagine that this is some kind of tax evasion scheme. Yeah. This is like paying in gold bullion bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't know why it exists.
Plank 58 means that you can, it's basically a digital free speech bill, even though social media companies are private businesses, not public utilities. That's always frustrated me that people are like, Facebook is impinging on my First Amendment right.
I think they should be. If the trade-off is you can say the N-word on Facebook and not get fired, right? Which, look, I mean, if free speech means anything, I don't see how, that's probably a bad example.
I mean, you could say Alex Jones. I don't know.
I mean, I would take that trade any day. Texas Republican Party. If you want to nationalize Facebook, but you're going to make it so that people can say the N-word and not be fired from their jobs, I'll take that fucking trade. Right? These should be public utilities. I mean, they're not, but like,
yeah. What else do we have here? Removing the property tax.
I would like to talk about the taxing stuff because to me, it's the thing that's going to most likely happen, which is Texas is going to crater its own tax base, or at least like shave it until it becomes non-functional, right? Which is a thing that's already going on and is kind of continually ratcheting up. I want to read some of these. Right?
Yeah, go for it.
So throughout this document, they break stuff up into whether it's federal or state or local, right? I'm just going to not worry about the federal ones, even though they're, you know, pretty fun. They're like, end the Fed, right? This is not a libertarian document. They do not want the Federal Reserve to be able to print currency. I guess we're just going to go back to like banks issuing their own fucking greenbacks or something. I don't know. Issuing their own dollars. They're not greenbacks. Greenbacks are specifically by the...
Aren't greenbacks just money?
Yeah, like greenbacks, I think, comes about during the Civil War, I want to say. There was like an emergency act to create a floating currency to pay soldiers during the Civil War.
Okay.
You could look it up. I can't remember. I think those were the original greenbacks. But like when either Treasury wasn't issuing dollars or there was no Federal Reserve, a lot of dollars were printed by private banks, right? And then a bank would collapse and you'd have all this fucking money that says, you know, like Wells Fargo dollar. And it would just be worth nothing. It's just nothing. Okay, so this is what I was talking about earlier when I say that like they're going to try to limit the function of basically local and municipal governments from fixing stuff that's not being fixed at either a federal or state level. The way that they're going to do this, the way they're talking about it, is by freezing budgets, right? Not just the Texas state budget, but municipal and local budgeting. They're going to make it basically illegal for you to grow the budget at all by like raising taxes. Like part of this is you're not going to be allowed by law to increase the budget of these kinds of things beyond like a 2% allotted for inflation or whatever, right? Then if you actually are allowed to pass new taxation schemes, let's say as a municipality, it's going to require you to get the consent of something like 20% of registered voters in the body, right? In like the county or the municipality, which if you've ever been involved in like local politics is fucking impossible.
I think
right?
our last election had 2% turnout.
Exactly. Nobody fucking votes in these things. So the idea that local governments that are like literally the kinds that you're talking about are already cash strapped because they're trying to raise money, right? They don't have any kind of outreach. It's not, nobody gives a fuck about local government because typically, I mean, historically, there's not been any power there. That's why you can exert at least a little bit of power. And these guys from the state are coming in and saying, fuck you. No, you get to do nothing. They're going to delete all government pensions, right? You're going to further transition to a private pensioning structure for those in, I guess, a government employment in Texas who still have pensions, which I have to imagine is fairly few. Basically, the this is a funny one. The Economic Stabilization Fund is really funny because Connor explained to me that this was a bunch of Medicare expansion money that was diverted into like a rainy day fund with like three governors ago. It was under
Rick Perry.
Perry.
Who you may know from Dancing with the Stars.
Fuck him. until she fell off the fucking face of the earth. So they've been, apparently they've diverted a bunch of money into this like rainy day fund instead of just giving people Medicare, because thank you, Obama block grants. The states get to do whatever the fuck they want with this money instead. So this basically would divert it from that fund, right? You got this rainy day fund. So like you have a hurricane, at least you can build back the power infrastructure or some shit, right? It would divert it from that fund to like a Texas health savings account fund. Some scheme, I imagine, by which you give all of this to like hospital guys who run hospitals that are buddies with like state legislatures in Texas, or you just use it to write off property taxes in Texas, which, by the way, property tax is one of the only ways that the state of Texas raises money. It's one of the main ways, because they famously don't have income tax, right? Which is why like podcasters and shit, if you haven't noticed, like Rogan and everybody that's a follower of him has recently moved to Texas, because your little fucking LLC or whatever that you set up with your Patreon doesn't get double taxed there. So yeah, we get to like tax repeals, right? You got like a state tax, but that's federal. Who gives a fuck? Inventory taxes, business franchise taxes, taxes on phone and internet service. So this is just like anything they can think of that has some constituency in the Texas legislature, remove them. And then like personal property tax, which I assume is like car purchases, or it's either corporate personal property tax, which is like when you buy like furniture or like basically like I think non-business items, like non-necessary business items for businesses, or it's literally like taxes on things that are designated personal property that like they would carve out of outside of sales tax. So like further basically ruining like local taxation schemes.
So we used to have a guy, Representative Stockman, here in the state of Texas, and he was pushing for recognizing crypto as a currency instead of as a property that you own, because if it goes up in value, you have to pay taxes on that change in value. So is that just like,
this is basically to avoid SEC regulation, right? They don't want them to be considered securities, because they've been doing business in unlicensed securities for years, right? Which is problematic.
That's Steve Stockman, and I should also point out he is a convicted felon, and he was sentenced to, let's see, I think 10 years in federal prison. He may have gotten out or pardoned.
This is the guy complaining about crypto or trying to get crypto.
Yeah, and he was convicted on 23 felonies, including fraud, illegal acts, fraud, and just a bunch of white-collar crimes. But he's also known for having rallies for AR-15s. And he would just give them away.
He's giving away AR-15s?
Yep. Yeah, he would just give. And he was, he was the representative for where we grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
In the now Dan Crenshaw district, in the eye patch district. It looks like an eye patch. The district does.
It looks like his eye patch. Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, I mean, doing away with property tax, which we already talked about before. I mean, this is like Action Point 75. We support replacing the property tax system for businesses and individuals, that meaning all people that pay property taxes, with an alternative other than income tax, not mentioned, and requiring voter approval to increase the overall tax burden. We demand the legislature to immediately develop and implement a transition plan that is a net tax cut. So they're like, we're going to replace it with something else. Think of something, legislature.
Yeah, this thing is full of, we need to replace this thing with something else. We'll get rid of it first and figure out the replacement later.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be intentional. It could be the result of bad planning. It could be like, no, if we just get rid of it, then we don't have to come up with anything else.
That, or, I mean, this is the kind of ANCAP ideal, right? Which is, they don't believe in the thing that the taxes are doing to begin with, right? So if you get rid of them and you cause that system to collapse, that's also a win, right? That's also a victory, because you didn't like the system to begin with, right? You want to do, let's do one fun one real quick.
A fun one.
This is a fun one in the finance section, because.
Is that Plank 69?
This is 70.
70. Okay. Because Plank 69 is, we must stop the globalists from running Texas. Only Texans may run Texas, which is why it's illegal to criticize Israel, which we can talk about in Plank 245 later. But yeah, please, Plank 70.
One of the things they're talking about doing is basically banning state and local structures from taking any money from government agencies.
The ones that financial pressure by globalist institutions that seek to destroy everything Texans hold dear and usurp the political power of Texas. Yeah.
But basically what this says is, if we have as a Texas legislature deem a federal program unconstitutional, we're going to make it illegal for state and local structures in Texas to accept money from them. So basically the logic here is that we're going to undo the supersession of federal law over state and local laws, right? Yeah. Patently unconstitutional, but it's the kind of thing that Connor and I have talked about as being like a test balloon for undoing the structure of federal legalism, right? Which is to say, like, I'm not like, it's like, I'm not touching you, right? It's like, I'm not saying that. One, it's like based on the premise that the Texas state legislature can identify things as unconstitutional, which is not true. That's literally the federal judiciary's job, right? That's like what the federal judiciary does fundamentally, and the Supreme Court. But like, secondly, it's weird because it attacks like not the actual legalism of the argument. It just attacks funding, right? Which in the past with other stuff has kind of worked. Especially in reverse, right, where the feds don't provide money to state actors, not by saying that you have to pass this law, but you would have to pass it in order to get this money, right? I'm thinking of MAD and minimum drinking ages, right? It was like a big thing with federal highway funds, or like what is it? A bunch of civil rights stuff with the feds in like the 60s and 70s went that way, where we just literally won't give you money, right? Like, so could states do that in reverse and say, look, we're not saying that your law isn't your law. We're just saying that state and local governments can't take any money from you.
Yeah. So plank 70, the one right after that, I definitely want to talk about this. This is the prevent hotel occupancy tax abuse, or the hot tax.
Did you figure out what this meant?
Yes. Okay. I'm actually very familiar with the hot tax. The hot tax is the hotel occupancy tax. And the way that this works is any and all arts funding, at least in the city of Houston, and the wording of this makes me think that it's applied to the state of Texas, all art grant funding is paid for from the hotel occupancy tax. So if you go to a hotel and you rent out a room, you pay taxes on that.
It's like a $15 fee, right? And that's the hot tax.
And that goes to funding the arts. Now, this entered my realm of consciousness during COVID because Houston has a lot of conventions, and because nobody was staying in the hotels, all the arts funding dried up. And what this says is that the Texas legislature is requested to restrict the hotel occupancy tax for Texas cities. Yeah. So like Houston, to prevent the display, promulgation, and promotion of obscene or pornographic materials and acts. Now, there are two organizations in the state of Texas, in city, that I know get funding from the Houston Arts Alliance, for example, ZineFest Houston and Grown Up Storytime. And what this means is that the state of Texas can basically, they'll just send someone to monitor and audit and make sure that there's nothing pornographic or obscene. And of course, pornographic and obscene throughout this entire thing is never clearly defined. It's the classic, I don't remember which Supreme Court justice said it, but I know it when I see it.
And yeah, it's going to be left up to some guy that they hire to go to your fucking art, and you know, to go to your art show and say like, this is, you know, I don't think the public would like to look at this.
Right.
And I don't think this is in line with our Christian values.
And ZineFest, exactly. This pisses me off. We're taking away your funding. And ZineFest Houston is inherently countercultural. Of course, there's going to be something that somebody deems pornographic or obscene. There's never outright nudity on like the cover of something there, but you have to, and this is all self-published, self-expression. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful event. And they're just going to try and take away funding for it, unless you have like, I don't know, Rockefeller paintings everywhere.
Or if you're rich, right? If you're rich, you get to do whatever the fuck you want, right? Yeah. There's no public money for this. Look, if you like fucking zine so much, Connor, you and your trashy alt culture bros that want to like beat each other off and make penis zines, right? Yeah. You should have a better job so that you guys can rent out a fucking convention center without public money. Yeah. Fuck you. You want public arts? Fuck you. Pay for it. Fuck you.
Basically, this community is very DIY, and the government is like, yeah, no, go DIY. You get no money from us. Do it yourself there.
Yeah, you blue do it hair under a baristas. Bridge, bitch.
Yeah. We are portraying characters. This is not really what we feel. Or I don't know about you. Do you reject any and all public art money?
I hate zines. If there's one thing I hate, it's fucking zines and the people who make them.
Now, I have one other thing that I want to say, and it's a bad, stupid, weird thing, or ugly, stupid, weird thing, because this is kind of related to Louisiana in a little way. So there's a whole section on education, and basically, if you don't know, Texas is part of a national conservative movement to basically defund public schools and implement private schools. They just want religious schools everywhere, or like super libertarian schools. They don't want public school at all.
Not everywhere. I mean, presumably in places that can't afford them or pay for them, marginalized communities, they don't give a fuck what you get. Yeah. They do not care. If a private institution wants to show up over there, take state and federal funding away from the public schools to run a charter school over there, that will work. And then when all of that fucking money dries up and that whole system that it's leeching off of collapses, my guess is they're all going to be fucked, right? Yeah. I don't know. You're going to go to school in a fucking barn, like I was joking, right? Like there is no long-term plan for that.
Now, it's not included in this plank and in this list of planks, which I found very interesting. But Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, has very much pushed for school choice and school vouchers. Now, school vouchers for religious schools in Texas, it's going to backfire on Republicans, paleo Christian conservative Republicans, in the same way that it did in Louisiana. Alec, I don't know if you remember this, in 2012, Representative Valerie Hodges, who represented Watson Parish, she pushed for and she supported Bobby Jindal's school voucher program, and she immediately regretted it when it passed and found out that it also funds Muslim schools. So, like,
no, not like that. Not yeah. that religion.
Yeah. So they pushed for religious schools, and then when they found out, like, wait, there's more than one religion? Oh, no. So I think that's what's going to happen in Texas. If they're going to get this, then they're going to find, like, oh, shit, this benefits brown people. Let's rewrite this law at the next legislative session.
I mean, the hope is that these freaks get to the legislature and somebody raises their hands and says, excuse me, but if we pass this bill, city governments are basically going to cease to function overnight, right? Or they do it and it gets caught up in some fucking a federal court issues a mandatory stay on it and, you know, it gets stuck that way. Yeah. But I think equally likely, at the very least, is they're going to keep churning this kind of bullshit out, and some of it's going to stick, and some of it is going to ruin various parts of state and local programs, right, that people in Texas fucking rely on, right? Yep. Or even, right, fundamental structures of economic exchange, which Texas as a whole relies on.
Now, I have two other things that I want to talk about. The first one is Plank 31, which is the Texas resistance to the Great Reset. And the Great Reset, if you don't know, is just global economic.
I mean, it's a racist conspiracy theory, right? Yeah. Just like started off with that.
It's a racist conspiracy theory about the world government resetting the entire planet and in the wake of COVID.
There could be mass death events. It could be the Great yeah. Reset could be like the Great Replacement. A lot of people use those kind of interchangeably, yeah. right? Where all the whites get replaced with brown people, I guess. I don't know.
It's the neoconservative mirror version of like shock capitalism. In the face of danger or the face of like a natural disaster, real estate developers will buy up demolished land and gentrify it and put up like horrible, shoddily made apartments. This has happened to New Orleans. This has happened to Houston. This has happened to Kima. And on the conservative side, it is after a natural disaster, globalists, a.k.a. Jewish people or brown people or Chinese people, will come in and rebuild the world in their image. In Plank 31, this made me laugh so hard. And it states that the Fair Access to Financial Services rule was created, quote, by President Trump, which was immediately suspended by the current occupant of the White House.
Like, they don't even mention Biden by name.
No,
it's so petty.
Yeah, no. I mean, these cocksuckers.
It's such
can't
a bitch move.
These are cowards. They refuse. I don't get it. Why won't they ever say Biden to the point where they say, "Let's go, Brandon." Fuck Joe.
Yeah, they
Biden.
Treat him like fucking Voldemort. It's weird.
Yeah, they can't even say it. It drives me crazy, man. Why can't you just say "fuck Joe Biden"? Why won't they just say it?
Because that seems improper. I mean, one like
grabbing by the pussy
don't
was
like,
improper.
Don't
these
like,
people don't fucking care.
Yeah, but they're not the ones saying it. He said it.
And the last thing I want to talk about, like I said in the beginning of the record, I did cry a little bit while reading this. And Plank 244 and 245, which are basically enshrining Israel's right to genocide Palestine. You know, Plank 244 says that Gazans, they're expressing opposition for Gazans to relocate to the U.S. 245 supports Israel unilaterally while opposing a two-state solution. Just said straight up, we oppose a two-state solution.
We oppose a two-state solution. And I mean, critically, what is it? We defend Israel's rights to do whatever it wants within the borders of Israel. Meaning, like, they get to do whatever the fuck they want. And the Gazans don't bring up them coming here because they fucking won't.
But believe it or not, they actually have cited evidence for Israel's right to do this. And it's the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
They straight up say, like, as you know, God gave them this land as stated in the book of Genesis. And that made me fucking sad, man. It made me realize, like, oh, I'm living in a state where they're just like legislatively approving of genocide. And that made me very sad. I love the state of Texas. I love Houston. I love where I'm at. This is the first time where I've been like, I might need to move. There are so many things in this document that don't affect me, but there are a lot of things in this document that affect me emotionally, mentally. I mean, fuck the erosion of any and all environmental protections. That definitely affects me. Houston is a cancer city. And I work in education.
You work in education. I mean, this does not bode well for... I mean, especially for like lower level public schools. I mean, I think those are going to be hit the hardest, right? Because their finances are ultimately tied to various schemes of taxation that this document makes clear that we're like unilaterally opposed to. Colleges broadly have a little bit more leeway in terms of their financing, famously. But it doesn't bode well for anything in education. I mean, some of this document basically tells, I don't think you're going to be tripped up on the sex education stuff, Connor, but I could see common discussion as a person employed at a place falling afoul of something like this and losing your job, right?
I mean, there's
going to be certain forms of political expression that you are just going to be barred from doing because the institution that you worked for received some money from the state.
And one of the things that is also affecting these college campuses is that they want to ban any college building that receives any federal funding, so just, you know, all of them, they want to ban them from being able to fly any flag that's not a United States flag. And I know what this is about. This is about a room in the University of Houston, because Houston is the most diverse city, I believe, in America.
That would not surprise me.
And at the University of Houston, there is a room that has a flag from every country. Basically, there's a flag
displayed.
Yeah, just displayed. And it's hung up along the walls. U of H is so diverse.
Basically, every national background.
Yeah, every student is represented by this flag. You know, we've got Somalian flags, Saudi Arabian flags, Chinese flags, Japanese flags.
A lot of Chinese flags.
It's not how many. It's not like, well, let's put one for each one. It's just like, if we have a foreign student at this school, we're damn sure going to make sure that there's a flag that represents their country so we can acknowledge how diverse this campus is. And they're getting rid of it.
I cannot imagine being offended by that. But, you know, I don't know.
It won't offend future generations, but it will be a slap in the face to current students. It will remind them that, like, we don't want to celebrate you being here. We don't want to celebrate the fact that this is an institution that people from all over the fucking world want to come to.
Well, and two, I mean, it's such a nothing thing to fly a flag for almost any reason as a state institution. I mean, I assume that that's kind of what they're talking about, right? They're not, you take down Old Glory and you put up the North Korean flag or something, right? Because you're true believers in Juche. I imagine they're talking about, you're not going to have displays of other people's flags. Or you know what it really is my guess? It's going to give legal credence for people to complain and for you to lose your job. It's like everything else with, you know, all the anti-BDS stuff that we've seen in the past year, which is, it's not about being consistent. It's about giving people a legal basis upon which they can threaten others. Right. Because everybody knows when they have a fucking, you know, a French flag on there, nobody's really going to complain. Right. Yeah. If there's a Union Jack posted somewhere, nobody's going to bitch about that. It's when there's a fucking Palestinian flag. Right. It's when there's a Chinese flag. I don't know.
They want to ban any and all Chinese students from attending public universities in Texas and private universities. They want to just outright ban it. And that is written in one of these plans.
That's tremendously. I mean, that's unimaginably costly to those institutions. I mean, look, if you wanted to make the case to me, you know, that domestic educational institutions should be for, you know, the polity that lives there, you could like formulate a leftist argument based on that. This is mostly about soft power, but it's also about money, right? Like Chinese students, as far as I understand it, right, like foreign students generally pay much higher than in-state or even domestic tuition, right?
Yep.
They pay for the privilege of going here because they're, right, usually kids of elites.
There's a quote that gets bandied about in the state of Texas a lot. As goes Texas, so goes the United States. Texas knows that it kind of moved the meter on conservatism nationally. We said that at the beginning of this episode. We're saying it again right now. This is dangerous shit. This specifically is some dangerous shit. This isn't us being like, Republicans are stupid. It's saying the Republican Party has moved very far to the right. And this idea that you can eliminate liberals entirely from the conversation, it's not going to happen. What's going to happen is, even the Soviet Union had conservatives, liberals, reformists. They were all part of the same party, but they wanted to change the party, you know, from within. That's going to happen in the state of Texas. So you're going to have, you know, your progressive Republicans, your business-minded Republicans, your paleo Republicans, but it's all going to be one fucking party. Democracy is being eroded, and it's happening in Texas first.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean,
what do you mean?
If the way that Republicans win elections, right, like you say, well, the Republican Party is moving far right. Yes. And by the way, the Texas Republican Party is an enormous powerhouse in that. They've got a ton of funding. They're an important state. So they're politically very, very important on a federal level, both, you know, in presidential elections, but in Congress, too. They're a big driver of conservative culture and conservative policy. Right.
Yeah. Actually, now that you're pointing this out, you're right, because they're also eliminating closed primaries.
Yes.
So, like, you can't be like, I'm a leftist running as a Republican. Like, I mean, in New York and California, you have conservatives running as Democrats because that's the only fucking way
for a conservative person
to get into power.
You could say, you know, all Republicans are bad, you know, all Democrats are even bad, right? You can be skeptical about the entire system, but as kind of maniacal and evil as a guy like Romney is, right, in his background and in his like mores, that guy does have some realism about him, about what either the federal government or state government of Massachusetts, for instance, has to do to provide for a semblance of quality of life, if not like economic basis on which the government functions, right? And guys like Mitt Romney are going away, right? When I say like I kind of disagree, I don't know. Like it's been pretty clear that like Trump candidates, right? Yeah. The kind of the worst of the worst, right? Your kind of Marjorie Taylor Greene mold style candidates have not been doing particularly well in federal elections with a couple exceptions, right? But that doesn't mean the party's not drifting that way. And I don't see a kind of resurgence of the kind of reasonable Republicans that Romney even might embody, right? People that are conservative but believe in putting conservative pressure on a system instead of kind of breaking it in half. I don't think those guys are going to exist. The people that I hear talking about that shit are fucking Democrats, right? Instead of becoming making a large counterproposal about what their vision for the fucking United States is, they're just calling for reasonable fucking Republicans. I mean, I do think this foundationally is where we're going over time. Even if this kind of stuff, even if the Trump brand is maybe too caustic for a lot of places, the fundamental ideas that are kind of wrapped up in that brand. It was a phenomenon where a lot of people transposed a lot of these kind of paleo-conservative or anarcho-capitalist kind of visions on Trump. Whereas I don't even know if he has a particular personal ideology, right?
No, but I don't think so.
Despite the fact that his candidates aren't doing well, that mindset is, I mean, you see it right here. This shit is not going away. And we're going to see how fucking serious these people are about pushing some of this agenda. I mean, it's one of those times when you're thankful that Texas has what, like a 2 month long legislative session once every 2 years, right? Like they're going to be limited in how badly they can fuck Texas up. Maybe.
I mean, right? Abbott can call a special session whenever the fuck he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did it a lot this past session because he didn't get what he wanted.
We'll see. If you want to know where the United States is going, I would try to pay attention to this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see it more and more.
On that note, look, this is depressing stuff. We know we don't have any No, I was thinking about the, like, somebody, I was talking about Mark Fisher's capitalist realism. It doesn't necessarily propose solutions, but it shows you, like, these are the flaws within the system. We need to imagine something else. And that's a you problem, the listener.
That's an all of us problem. I mean, you know.
We have to imagine and start working towards, you know, actualizing what we imagine to be a alternative to this. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, none of us know yet.
But
I mean, to be a little bit hopeful, right? If these things make life worse, that's going to make making the case that we should do something else a lot stronger, right? So
that's true. I mean,
there's always a silver lining to people, freaks like this, getting what they want, which is it's going to be inherently destabilizing to life in Texas, at the very least, if not the United States. Hopefully somebody you can talk more sanely to people and they'll fucking listen whenever you do.
We'll see. Hopefully
we will see.
Hopefully with the expansion of gun access in the state, it doesn't lead to me getting shot when I'm knocking on doors.
Go for it. Repeal the Hughes Amendment. I will move to Texas. I will become a Texas fucking taxpayer again.
Oh, my God. Well,
give me automatic weapons, brother.
Tut, 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 my friend. After this, there will be no such thing as a Texas taxpayer. Just Texas citizens.
Just Texas citizens, baby.
Look, on the plus side, we have something really, really awesome planned for next week. Please, please, please follow, like, subscribe. I'm so excited for next week. I don't want to tease it out too much because I want to make sure it's in the can, but we have a really cool guest and a really cool movie. We're going to watch another movie again next week.
Yeah. If you heard about this podcast because of me posting, then you're going to be excited, but you're already going to know about it. If you heard about it because of Connor, you're never going to know who the fuck this person is.
You're going to think that this is a comedian that has a
if
has
you
a
know if
name.
You know who John Dolan, aka Gary Brecher, aka it's not John.
It's not John. No, it's not John.
If you know who that is, you're going to like this guest.
Okay. Do you have anything else that you want to say for the episode?
We had some stuff to talk about with Louisiana, but I mean, getting through this Republican Party platform, like, everything paled in comparison. So like, no, I mean, I had some news about there is like a silver lining. There's a little bit of good news. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the state's attempt to use. They basically blocked a lower court stay on the use of a new congressional map for Louisiana. So look, we got 2 out of 6 now instead of 1 out of 6, a majority black district. So presumably, if people vote, you know, anywhere along the kind of statistical lines, Louisiana will actually represent its represent its black population with Congress people in Louisiana, which is kind of a nice move. I don't know if it's going to solve any of the systemic problems of Louisiana. By the way, we talked about this, I think, in episode 2.
We
in
did.
Which case we included the fucking crazy map that this is.
Yeah.
Because you have to work pretty fucking hard to make congressional districts in Louisiana actually representative of the kind of population statistics. So, I mean, the 6th congressional district is pretty fucking gerrymandered. It's crazy looking. It looks like our district from Cypress, Texas, back home.
The eye patch district.
It's a big gash running down the boot. It looks like if you had a Nike high top, right? Like that oversized swoosh. It basically looks like that on Louisiana. It looks fucking crazy. It's all like jagged and shit.
Oh man. All right. On that, we'll leave you. We'll eventually come up with a catchphrase to end all episodes. But until then, excelsior, propaganda lovers.
Oh, God. All right, y'all. Peace.